ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिगं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तीमहे तन्नो दुर्गिः प्रचोदयात् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ शं नो मित्रः शं वरुणः शं नो भवत्पर्यमा शं न इन्द्रो बृहस्पतिः शं नो विष्णुरुक्रमः शं रुक्मिणे नमस्ते वायो त्वमेव प्रत्यक्षं तत्मासि त्वमेव प्रत्यक्षं मम वदिष्यामि ऋतं वदिष्यामि सत्यं वदिष्यामि तन्माम् अवतो तद्वक्तारमवतो अवतु माम् अवतु वक्तारम् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
वी हेव् कवर्ड् एट् अनुवाकाः एट् पेराग्राफ्स् आफ् शिक्षावल्ली wherein we have covered five upasanas. And you know, upasanam or upasana is a preliminary, a preparatory discipline, but it is a manasam karma. Mere meditation alone cannot be a discipline, preparatory discipline. Meditation alone cannot be a preparatory discipline. So karma also is what? No, karma means meditation is a karma. It's a manasam karma. Manasam karma alone cannot be a preparatory discipline. In this context, you have to remember very well, meditation is the way when we say we mean contemplation. It is the contemplation. It is dwelling upon the nature of the reality or the self, which will bless one with the ascertained, assimilated vision of the nature, the swarupam, which is moksha. But contemplation is not a preparatory discipline. Please understand, contemplation is a mental activity. It is not a preparatory discipline. Contemplation is the actual meditation. When you talk about upasanam, is a preparatory discipline which prepares the mind for contemplation. I got the difference? Meditation, upasanam, saguna brahma, vishaya manasa vyaparaha. So this you have to remember. Meditation, contemplation is a manasam karma, mental activity, which is the culmination of what now? Preparation of the mind. Mind is prepared means prepared mind. Mind is prepared for what? Mind is made ready for what? So preparation of the mind is for contemplation only, which is meditation also, which is the meditation. But here when I talk about meditation as a preparatory discipline, it is a manasam karma, which is upasanam. This is a preparatory discipline, is upasanam, and that upasanam alone is not enough. Upasanam is not the only preparatory discipline. So karma also, physical karma, kayikam karma, vachikam karma also become what now? those activities, physical, oral activities also, not only mental activity, but also physical, oral activities also become what? Preparatory disciplines. Therefore, having discussed, talked about five meditations, five upasanas as preparatory mental disciplines, now Upanishad is talking about the karma as a, is going to talk about the karma as a preparatory discipline. Karma means what? Now, which karma? Physical activity and oral activity also become what? Actually preparatory disciplines. And karma, how does karma, physical activity, how does a physical activity, any karma for that matter, how does it become a preparatory discipline? A physical activity becomes a preparatory discipline only if it is a yoga. Isn't it? If it contributes for emotional maturity or disciplining of the mind, it is called yoga, karma yoga. And karma yoga, therefore, always includes what now? Pancha maha yajnaha. Okay? Pancha maha yajnaha. Therefore, karma yoga and pancha maha yajnaha are highlighted in this following anuvakaha. And you, I am sure you remember what those pancha maha yajnas are. Isn't it? So, let us see, karma yoga itself, you know, doing any activity with proper attitude converts the karma into yoga, the preparatory discipline. And then here, of course, one has to follow the other disciplines, the following strictly the disciplines really converts one's actions into yoga. And what are those disciplines? Shamaha, Damaha, Uparamaha, Titiksha, Shraddha, etc. Those disciplines really, if a person strictly follows those disciplines, and his actions become what now? Really yoga. Anything he does become yoga. And to understand that, okay, why should a person try to follow any preparatory discipline at all? One will not follow any preparatory discipline if a person does not know the value. This, if a person has to deliberately follow any discipline, any value, anything, if a person has to follow, make constant effort to follow, he definitely should know the value of it. For knowing the value of following disciplines and following values depends upon what now? Depends upon the knowing the value of knowledge. Antakarana Shuddhihi and Antakarana Naishchalyam. And knowing the value of knowledge and knowing the value of moksha and above all understanding the moksha being the ultimate end. Very important. Purushartha nischeha. Moksha is the purushartha. Moksha is the choiceless end. Moksha is the ultimate goal. How will you know? How do you know? Therefore, to understand, to know what am I living this life for? What is the ultimate purpose of living this life? What moksha is? And moksha is the choiceless end. How moksha is the choiceless end? Moksha is the choiceless end is understanding. Then how moksha is the choiceless end? Why moksha is the choiceless end? And to accomplish that moksha, what is moksha is? If is the accomplishment of the already accomplished. Therefore, it is only jnanam is what now? The ultimate end. And knowledge and moksha are identical. For that jnanam, I need that pramanam. I have to understand the limitations of all the pramanams. That jnanam is the only, mokshastram is the only pramanam. And even for you, for me, even the shastram is available. I have to study it with the Guru Mukhat with the help of the teacher, and even if you study the Shastram with the help of this teacher systematically, if I am not mentally prepared, then still the Shastra Jnanam doesn't become really, doesn't contribute for the accomplishment of the end really. Therefore, my mental preparedness is so important in terms of purity and steadiness. That involves a tremendous amount, that takes really tremendous amount of effort for one to become mentally pure and steady. And for that mental purity and steady, the only way is to live what now? Live a disciplined life. Living a disciplined life means living the life without disturbing the universal natural law and order. Living a life in harmony with universal natural law and order. Because that's very important, to avoid the inner conflict, to avoid the external disturbance in the order, one has to live a disciplined life. And living a disciplined life implies living a life of karma yoga, following all the disciplines. Therefore, following all the disciplines, therefore it is, that is how one comes to know of the importance of living a disciplined life, which is living a life of karma yoga. And one really can make constant efforts deliberately to live a life of values. For all of them, how can one know? How can one know all these things? So to know the value of karma yoga, to know the value of living a disciplined life, thereby to commit oneself to live a life, disciplined life, life of values, and to become committed to the pursuit of, to be worshipful and prayerful, and to become committed to the pursuit of knowledge. And anything I do, jnanam, 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 anything which will distract my mind from being committed to knowledge, I just refrain from it. Is it that commitment and moksha to know all these things? How can one know? Only by being exposed to the study of the Shastra. Isn't it? Without being exposed to the study of the Shastram also, some people may get it because of their Janmantara Samskara. One must have worked hard in previous lives and they might pick up. But study of the Shastram is very, very important. Study of the Shastram itself is what now? Very important discipline. And not only study of the Shastram, once you have studied, once you have understood, also sharing what one has understood from the Shastram also, without confusing others. All is what now? Another discipline. Therefore, ninth Anuvakaha presents Panchamahayajnas Karma Yogaha, but highlighting the most important discipline, Aswadhyayaha, study of the scriptures and Pravachanam, teaching. Why Upanishad highlights this, the discipline of study of the scriptures? That's why I just want to give a small introduction. Now we have to see what are these Panchamahayajnas. We will see in this context, one after the other. When you study this, we'll understand. Let us chant first and then we'll see the meanings. That is why the topic is what? Swadhyaya Prashamsa. The glorification of Swadhyayaha, study of the scripture. Actually, study of one's own Veda is called Swadhyaya, but you can generally take it as now study of the scripture in general. All the disciplines are discussed, but one discipline is highlighted, therefore it is repeated everywhere.
Rutancha Swadhyaya Pravachane cha. Rutancha Swadhyaya Pravachane cha. Rutancha Swadhyaya Dhyaya Pravachane cha. Rutancha Swadhyaya Pravachane cha.
Say it twice after me.
Rutancha Swadhyaya Pravachane cha. Rutancha Swadhyaya Pravachane cha.
Satyancha Swadhyaya Dhyaya Pravachane cha.
Satyam cha Swadhyaya Pravachane cha. Satyam cha Swadhyaya Pravachane cha.
Tapascha Swadhyaya Pravachane cha.
Tapascha Swadhyaya Pravachane cha. Tapascha Swadhyaya Pravachane cha.
Dhammascha Swadhyaya Pravachane cha.
Dhammascha Swadhyaya Pravachane cha. Dhammascha Swadhyaya Pravachane cha.
Shamascha Swadhyaya Pravachane cha.
Shamascha Swadhyaya Pravachane cha. Shamascha Swadhyaya Pravachane cha.
Agnayascha Swadhyaya Pravachane cha.
Agnayascha Swadhyaya Pravachane cha. Agnayascha Swadhyaya Pravachane cha.
Agnihotrancha Swadhyaya Pravachane cha.
Agnihotrancha Swadhyaya Pravachane cha. Agnihotrancha Swadhyaya Pravachane cha.
Atithayascha Swadhyaya Pravachane cha.
Atithayascha Swadhyaya Pravachane cha. Atithayascha Swadhyaya Pravachane cha.
Atithayascha.
Atithayascha.
The second tha. Atithayascha.
Atithayascha.
Swadhyaya Pravachane cha.
Swadhyaya Pravachane cha.
Manushancha Swadhyaya Pravachane cha.
Manushancha Swadhyaya Pravachane cha. Manushancha Swadhyaya Pravachane cha.
Prajacha Swadhyaya Pravachane cha.
Prajacha Swadhyaya Pravachane cha. Prajacha Swadhyaya Pravachane cha.
Prajanascha Swadhyaya Prajatya. Prajanascha Swadhyaya Pravachane cha.
Prajanascha Swadhyaya Pravachane cha. Prajanascha Swadhyaya Pravachane cha.
Prajatischa Swadhyaya Pravachane cha.
Prajatischa Swadhyaya Pravachane cha. Prajatischa Swadhyaya Pravachane cha.
Satyamiti Satyavacharathetarah.
Satyamiti Satyavacharathetarah. Satyamiti Satyavacharathetarah.
Satyamiti.
Satyamiti.
Satyavacha.
Satyavacha.
Rathetarah.
Rathetarah.
Tapayiti.
tapaiti
tapo nityah paurushishtih tapaiti tapo nityah paurushishtih
tapaiti tapo nityah paurushishtih tapaiti tapo nityah
paurushishtih swadhyaya pravachane
swadhyaya pravachane
yeveti
yeveti
nako
nako
maudgalyaha
maudgalyaha
swadhyaya pravachane yeveti nako maudgalyaha
swadhyaya
pravachane eveti nako maudgalyah tadhitapastadhitapah
tadhitapastadhitapah tadhitapastadhitapah.
Okay, only disciplines are highlighted here, and have you noticed one common word here? Swadhyayaha pravachanam. In dual, when you put them together, swadhyayaha cha pravachanam cha becomes swadhyaya pravachane. Dual. Then we have to separate and understand swadhyayaha pravachanam. And along with every discipline, swadhyayaha pravachanam. Swadhyaya and pravachanam. Swadhyaya and pravachanam. Upanishad, along with every discipline, one discipline is repeatedly, isn't it, presented to emphasize the importance of that discipline. Swadhyaya. Swadhyaya pravachanam. When you put together, it becomes swadhyaya pravachane. In dual, in Sanskrit language, you have singular, plural, dual and plural. So, swadhyayaha cha, pravachanam cha, the final word is neuter gender word. Therefore, pravachane. So, therefore, let us see the meaning of the word. First is swadhyayaha, then we will go to other disciplines and pravachanam. Swadhyayaha means adhyayanam. Adhyayanam means study. Many people interpret self-study. Not self-study, studying at least one Veda, studying at least one branch of Veda, should be taken as a compulsory discipline. Therefore, it's called Swadhyayaha. So, we should not think, because swa means people think it's a self-study. No. Not self-study means not the studying by oneself. Literal meaning is swadhyayaha, is studying, committing oneself to study at least one branch or one Veda. It's called swadhyaya. But here we should understand study of the scripture. In general, we should take it as study of the scripture, swadhyayaha. So when as a brahmachari, as a young boy, when a student goes to the teacher and he stays in Gurukulam or he studies the Veda, initially he is taught the chanting. So learning to chant all the Vedas, the entire one Veda thoroughly, means learning to chant itself is the first. Adhyayana means learning to study the chanting of the Veda. Learning to chant the Veda means memorizing the Veda. Learning to chant means not simply chanting. Chanting means in Veda memorizing. Memorizing means what? Actually the mantras. I told you earlier also, the Veda mantras, in Vedic period, there was no press, there was no book, no textbook, not even manuscripts were available. Manuscripts also came very, very late, after a long time. Those days, mantras were all only in the mind of the teacher. The teacher who would have learned from another teacher, knows the mantras and their meanings, and everything is in the form of a thought only. Knowledge. Where is the knowledge? Knowledge is in the form of a thought. Where is the knowledge? It's in the mind. Where is the book? Where is the library? Mind. What big hardware? We say GB, KB, you know, gigabyte, megabyte. And the mind was only gigabyte for them. So they had to keep everything stored in the mind only. So the teacher has all the, one who plays the role of the teacher and has got all the knowledge, all the mantras in memory. That is why he knows thoroughly which sound, which swara, which word, and which everything he knows. Thoroughly he should know. And he not only, the study of the mantras means it's a study. Memorizing all the mantras itself is one part of the study. All the book must be thoroughly there. The whole book is in memory. So that when the teacher later on will teach the meanings, that how you turn the pages here to know the meanings, he has to turn the pages in his mind itself. If he has to turn the pages in the mind, book must be where? The mind. To have the book in the mind means what? He must have got the whole way the text memorized. Isn't it? So it's understanding the meaning of the mantras, thoroughly analyzing every word, every sound, everything, every mantra, and knowing the meaning of the mantras is an analytical study of the meaning. The mantra is called Mimamsa. So, Adhyayanam Swadhyayaha means first Adhyayanam, thereafter Mimamsa. Study of the chanting, and later on, the analytical study of the meaning of the mantras, together, both together are meant by the term swadhyaya, study. And why one should study? I have just told you, if a person does not study the shastram, it is not possible for one to have clear understanding, the firm understanding of how one should live one's life, how one should conduct oneself, how one should live one's life, how one's behavior must be, how one's actions must be, how the lifestyle must be, way of life, how should I live my life. The way of life. What is there for it to guide you? Who will guide you otherwise? The way of life. This is how I have to live my life. The way of life, one can understand, and thereby one can decide to live the lifestyle only if a person knows what this lifestyle should be, how the lifestyle should be, what the way of life should be. To understand the way of life, one study of the Shastram is very important. And to understand the way of life, to live the life in keeping with understanding, study of the Shastram is important. And the way of life itself will not be possible if one does not know what one should live this life for. Why I should follow this way of life? Why I should live this way of life? If I do not live this way, then definitely I cannot accomplish what I should accomplish. What makes my life a meaningful, complete and successful life? What is that which makes my life complete? What is that which makes my life a meaningful life? What is that which makes my life a successful life? We have our own concept of success. if my life has to be successful life, what is that which makes my life really a successful life? Is it the accomplishment of name, fame, popularity, or any other, you know, expansion of infrastructure, expansion of one's security, or positions, etc.? What is it which makes my life really successful life? Of course, all other accomplishments in terms of artha, in terms of karma, adharma, all those accomplishments are also wanted. They are recognized. They have, we really consider their such those accomplishments also, but they are all only relative accomplishments. So relative, this name, fame, popularity, all those things, positions and possessions, influence, all those things, money poor, man poor, everything become only relative accomplishment. Why? It is not the absolute accomplishment. Why? Because they do not make your life really a successful life. Because those accomplishments, how much you accomplish, will not make your knowledge complete. Those accomplishments will keep your knowledge incomplete. And incomplete knowledge will always be what now? Will leave you with inadequacy, sense of inadequacy. Incomplete knowledge will make one always leave a person behind as an incomplete, inadequate person. Inadequacy, the sense of inadequacy centered on I will never be removed, how much ever you accomplish in terms of artha, kama, dharma. However famous, how much ever fame, name, popularity, whatever great and highest positions a person really enjoys in one's lifetime also, all those things will not really make, really free the person from sense of being inadequate. The inadequacy will continue to be there. Therefore, what is that which will free one from sense of inadequacy? That alone makes one, that knowledge alone is said to be complete knowledge. Knowledge which frees one from sense of inadequacy alone is complete knowledge. And only when a person becomes free from sense of inadequacy, he is said to be reveling in fullness. And reveling in fullness alone makes happiness alone, makes one's life a complete, meaningful, successful one. It is fullness, it is happiness, is it, which alone makes life successful life. If there is no fullness, if there is no happiness, then life is still not absolutely successful. I got everything in my life, only one thing I lack is peace and happiness. If you say, the life is not successful. I've achieved everything, I'm not peaceful. I'm not happy means life is incomplete. Still life is meaningless. I have lived a whole life, I've done so much, accomplished so much, but before death, how do I die? Unhappily. Means, life, the whole life has been lived waste. It's not a meaningful life. Okay? Therefore, if a person wants to make one's life a meaningful life, complete life, successful life, one should know what is relative success and what is absolute success. It is reveling in fullness. Being happy and being peaceful is actually, really is the absolute success. But for that absolute success, to make this life absolutely successful and meaningful and complete, definitely one should have complete knowledge. And the knowledge should be complete. And the complete knowledge alone relieves one from sense of inadequacy. And with complete knowledge, therefore, this is how one comes to know of the value of knowledge. What is that which makes my knowledge complete knowledge? It is the knowledge of what fullness is, a knowledge of what reality is, there be knowledge of what the self is. If it is self-knowledge which alone makes one's life complete and complete life. Knowledge, complete knowledge. It is self-knowledge which makes the knowledge complete knowledge. And it is the complete knowledge which makes one's life successful and meaningful. Therefore, what once then a person should even to know. And for that knowledge, I should be, what now? My mind is the only instrument. Mind is the instrument of knowledge as being born a human being. What it is the knowledge which makes your life completely different means the whole perspective will change, everything will change. Makes this really what adds to your life, really makes your life a life is what now? Knowledge. And for that knowledge, only instrument you have to use is mind, buddhi. Isn't it? Buddhi, mind. And that mind has to be pure and steady. For that mental purity and steadiness alone, what now? I have to live my life this way. This is the way I have to live. Okay? Na anya pantha ayanaya vidyate. This is the way I have to live. This is called sanatanaha dharmaha. Means what? The eternal way of life. Well analyzed. Thoroughly analyzed. Nobody can find any fault, any defect in that way of life. This is the life. This is well analyzed. Thoroughly analyzed. No scripture can ever say, nobody can come and say, come on, you can live a life, you know, violating the universal law and order. Nobody can come and say that. Everybody should agree with this. Because it doesn't contradict anybody's reasoning or thinking. The thoroughly analyzed way of life, sanatanaha dharmaha, that is why it's called eternal. It is timeless. It is applicable for any time to come in future. It is applicable always even before. It is now. And therefore, this eternal way of life, this is the way of life. This is how I should live my life because this is the end. This is what is going to make my life a meaningful and successful and complete one. To understand this also, what now? Swadhyayanam is important. Swadhyaya is important. Is clear now? Therefore, that's why Upanishad says what now? Repeats. Swadhyayaha, swadhyayaha, swadhyayaha. Study, study, study is very important. Repeats. That's why swadhyayaha. And once you have studied, definitely you share whatever you have clearly, thoroughly understood well. And it is also very important for one to share that knowledge with other people. It is very important for us to preserve that knowledge. Isn't it? For the perpetuation of dharma. The same dharma I have lived, I have understood, I have lived, I have followed, I have lived, I have accomplished. My life is now what now? Sarthakam jivanam. My life has become really saphalam, jivanam saphalam jatam. My life has become in life, life of fulfillment and life of accomplishment, successful life, a complete meaningful life. So when I die also what happens now? I die means what now? Physically, isn't it? The natural water happens, then I leave this knowledge behind for what now? I want this knowledge to be there forever, perpetuating for the good of the future generations. Without, I see that it doesn't become extinct. For which Vidya Danam is very important. That is why those days they used to tell, some people become very arrogant, they want to be very selfish, they want to keep, see actually this knowledge should really make them become very wide, very big. But when this Purushartha Nischaya is not there, sometimes No, without the Vedic study, etc., people study other disciplines. And then they know, then they become very arrogant. They don't want to teach this to others. Keep the knowledge for themselves. And they used to say, if you don't teach this, and your head will break and you will die. Some frightened, they used to frighten. Brahmarakshas, you will be born as a Brahmarakshas. Something they used to say, frighten. You better share. Just to frighten, okay, don't take it seriously. It's all for fun. Anyway, what I want to say here, the idea is, it's also very important to share. Sharing is for perpetuation. Perpetuation is for what? Preserving. Preservation, preservation for perpetuation. Perpetuation is for the all ever in future also. The generations to come, they should enjoy and they should know and they should follow, they should live, they should make their lives complete and meaningful. And for that, pravachanam. Understand? That is why what you can also do, whatever little you know, but not with confusions, without any vagueness. If you know little also, you can catch hold of somebody and talk to them. And when the other person sees you, runs away from you also next time and try to catch hold of a new person. Always better to share, but be clear. Don't frighten people. Swadhyayaha pravachanam. Okay. Then we go to the Rutancha Swadhyaya Pravachanecha. Rutancha Swadhyaya Pravachanecha. So Swadhyayaha Pravachanam. So Swadhyayaha and Pravachanam, study of the scriptures properly, systematically, with the help of the teacher. And with all commitment to the knowledge and having great Shraddha in Shastram and teacher and also sharing that knowledge with other people, contributing for the preservation of the Shastram and the perpetuation of Dharma are important values, important disciplines. Swadhyayaha Pravachanam. And the next value highlighted is Ritam. We already studied, we already understood the meaning of the word Ritam. And Shankara says, Yatha Shastram Jnanam Ritam. Yatha Shastram Jnanam means what? Understanding. Okay, having whatever you understand, understanding is in keeping with the, what now? The subject matter of the Shastram. Like as we say, now you know, Shastram says, may you speak the truth. Shastram says, may you not hurt. Shastram says, now may you follow Dharma. Shastram says, now may you live a life of Karma Yoga. The Shastram teaches, the subject matter of the Shastram, no, is there. And your knowledge, you also understand the same things. And your knowledge, does the Shastra teaching does not contradict your understanding knowledge. And your knowledge also is in keeping with what now? Subject matter of the Shastram, Shastra teaching. So Ritam means knowledge of the values and disciplines as prescribed in Shastram. You do not contradict, nor does the Shastram contradict with what you are understanding. Yatha Shastram Jnanam Ritam. Then Satyancha Swadhyaya Pravachanecha.
Satyancha Swadhyaya Pravachanecha.
The next value is what? Shastram. That is Satyam. Satyam is what? Ritam. Satyam, they go together. The word satyam literally means truthfulness in speech. The word satyam also means the absolute reality, the existence. But here satyam means yatha jnanam anushtanam. Ritam and satyam should go together. Ritam means yatha shastram jnanam. Ritam yatha jnanam anushtanam is satyam. Anushtanam means what? Following. So, my behavior, my physical activities, my behavior, my speech, my thinking, my thought, word and deed are in alignment with my knowledge. My physical activity and my oral activity are in alignment with my knowledge of dharma, my knowledge of values. I know in my mind what Shastram says, Satyam Vada. I also know I should speak the truth. But Anushtane, if I tell a lie, there is no Satyam. There is Ritam, there is no Satyam. Shastram says, speak the truth. But I also, no. You think then Ritam also is not there. I also know I should speak the truth. But in behavior, if I don't speak the truth, there's no Satyam. So Satyam means what now? Having one's behavior, one's lifestyle, in keeping with one's knowledge of values, which is in keeping with the knowledge, subject matter of the Shastram. Is it clear? Not only one discipline I'm saying, one value I'm saying, everything, the whole lifestyle must be the end, all our behavior, the whole lifestyle, all our activities must be completely governed by our knowledge of Dharma. And our knowledge of Dharma must be in keeping with subject matter of the Shastra. It's called Satyam here. So knowledge must be, what is here Ritam? Ritam is one's knowledge. Everyone has some basic viveka. Basic knowledge. That knowledge must be what now? Small knowledge in conformity with the subject matter of the Shastram is called Ritam. And one's lifestyle, one's behavior, one's being completely governed by one's knowledge, which is in keeping with subject matter of the Shastram, is what? Satyam. Ritam, Satyam. That is why there's a con. And how is it possible? One has to be constantly reminded. What is one? It needs to have Ritam and to follow Satyam. To follow Satyam means what now? To have Ritam and Satyam, these two disciplines, imbibed, assimilated, and to have that, you need constant. You need strength, emotional strength. You have a strong will, and to have your will, which is you have will, but you need the strongest will, and to have those disciplines assimilated in you, you need what now? Constant reminder. You have to be reminded constantly. What is it which can help you constantly? Swadhyayaha, isn't it? The important thing is Swadhyaya. Therefore, Ritancha Swadhyaya Pravachanecha, Satyancha Swadhyaya Pravachanecha. Is it clear? I'm not going into every discipline detail, but still understand this. Ritam Satyam. We have seen Swadhyaya, Pravachanam, Ritam Satyam. We are going to next one. Tapaha. tapaha. Tapaha is a sakarantaha napusakalinga shabdaha, tapas shabdaha. And tapaha, tapas means what? Austerity. And austerity means what? Willingly denying certain things which we regularly do. That means, austerity means, it's a discipline to improve one's willpower. It's called tapas. I like cheesecake very much. And then I try, wherever I say cheesecake, I eat. Any occasion, any opportunity possible, I take to eat. Okay. Let me not eat cheesecake for 1 week. Just only 1 week. Coffee. I like strongest coffee, bitter black coffee. And with only 1 drop of milk. No sugar. And then no more coffee in my life. Not no more in coffee in my life. At least let me leave this coffee for 1 month. 1 month. Why? Because this has become, isn't it? Now am I a slave for this? Or this is a slave for me, isn't it? Sometimes the objects of our liking, you can have objects of your liking, but should not become slave of the objects of liking. We do become slaves. We are unknowingly enslaved by our objects of desires and pleasures. Whenever you feel enslaved, not whenever you feel enslaved, no, there's possibility, you will be enslaved by your objects of desires and pleasures. Therefore, be careful. Therefore, what now? Definitely, you should be able to drink when you want to drink. You should be able to say even if you see in front of you. That is called what now? Tapaha. That is why it's not an ultimate end for us. Our ultimate end is moksha. Our ultimate end is jnanam. For which we want antakarna shuddhi and naischalyam. Because whenever we become enslaved by these things, then my attention becomes distracted from our goal to other things. Objects of pleasures, when they enslave you, your goal will be of secondary importance. The objects of pleasure become your primary importance, will enjoy primary importance. Then there's possibility of degrading oneself. That is why we can't afford to allow ourselves to be enslaved by those things. That's what we say, this tapaha. Always willingly saying no to certain things which I like, which I want, I'm desperate to do. It's called tapaha. That is why in our culture, if you see, we have so many vratams. Some people foolishly follow all the vratams and they develop ulcers. So here what they do, So here we have so many vratams. Why? There are occasions. Vrata means really mainly, this fasting, etc. We have Ekadashi Vratam. We eat every day so much of food. Okay? And once in a while, no. And that day, no salt in the food. No salt. Oh my God, without salt, how can I eat? Every day it will be salt. One day if you eat without salt, what will happen? Ekadashi Vratam. Or no food, or saltless food. Nirjala Upavasaha. People, we remain, Shivaratri, no food, no sleep also. But two of these are very important for us. Once in a year, one Shivaratri day, keep awake. That's not the ultimate end. People think that's the ultimate end. That's a problem. That's only just just the tapas. Now, because if you sleep for hours, one day, Shivratri Vratam, Ekadashi Vratam. Now, we have other Vratam, so many Vratams we have follow. All those Vratams are followed for what? Actually, for just to develop, improve one's willpower. I mean, not improve, willpower is there to strengthen one's willpower. Willpower is already there. You cannot create, you need not get a new willpower. Willpower is already there. That willpower has to be maintained, isn't it? Sometimes whenever you are enslaved, your willpower is unused or abused. You have to use the willpower means, whenever you are using the willpower, you are a master. When you are abusing it, when you are not using it, you are a slave. So to avoid the possibility of being enslaved by the objects and the objects of pleasures, in order to be a master of those things, one had to make use of the willpower, and to be constantly able to use the willpower to strengthen the willpower, sometimes willingly we deny, deny enjoyment of certain things. Okay, it's called tapaha, austerity. And here again, I can tapaha sort of saying, we'll see that next, maybe other disciplines also will make tapaha clear, tapas clear. It's clear now, tapas.
Tapascha pravachane cha.
Tapascha svadhyaya pravachane cha.
Damascha svadhyaya pravachane cha.
Damascha svadhyaya pravachane cha.
See, Damaha, mastery over one's senses, organs of actions. So sensory discipline is called Damaha. So sensory discipline means, what do we do? Eyes are meant for seeing, ears are meant for hearing, legs, nose is meant for smelling, tongue is meant for tasting and talking, and then organ of speech is, all these organs are meant for doing their own activities. Hands are meant for doing and holding, and legs are meant for walking. This is what we are doing. What do we mean by discipline here? So discipline here is not involving the senses or the organs of action in anything which stimulate our negative tendencies. Like kamaha, krodaha, lobaha, mohaha, madaha, matsaryam. All these things are already there. And they can be stimulated. Anything which stimulates, any stimulant, isn't it? Anything which stimulates these kalmashas, these impurities, one has to refrain oneself from involving one's sense organs and organs of actions from things which stimulate these impurities. That is why then, if I had to see anything which helps me, which helps me to develop my Daivi Sampath, I should involve them in. That is why we say, what should I hear? Bhadraṁ kanne bhishrunuyāma devāha prayer. I can't help my ears from picking up all unwanted, nasty things. Also, I can't help. I have no say over my hearing. Hearing is an involuntary function. I keep walking, but somebody talks something, nonsense, rubbish, it comes and falls into my ears, and without my control, it just goes to my mind also. Oh, we seek Bhagavan's grace, what? Oh Lord, may my ears hear only auspicious things. What is auspicious? Anything which will bless you with Daivi Sampat is auspicious. What is Daivi Sampat? Anything which will help you to have Antakarna Shuddhi and Jnanam. Naishchalam is Daivi Sampat. Anything which will not stimulate your kama, krodha, lobha, moha, then that is Daivi Sampat, isn't it? Anything which stimulates your kama, krodha, lobha, moha. No, they're all natural ones. But anything can stimulate also. The stimulants are what now? They're Asuri Sampat. Isn't it? So those things. So here Damaha means what now? That is why one has to, the prayer itself, Bhadram Kanne Vishnuyama Devaha, Bhadram Pashe Maksha Bharijatraha. No, may we hear only auspicious things, may we see only auspicious things, means what now? The prayer itself tells you that we have no say over what we see, the function of seeing and hearing, etc. Therefore, may all those things which our senses come in contact with be contributing for our accomplishment of what? Antakarna Shuddhihi and Naischalyam. There be preparation for Jnanam, that we may them contribute for our accomplishment of Jnanam and Moksha. Anything which distracts us from our track of knowledge, then really that should be kept away. That's why the prayer is. For here, one has to take care of what one is watching, what one is seeing, how much one is seeing, and when one is seeing, where one is seeing. Where, when, how much, what for, I am using my senses. Where am I using? When am I using? What for am I using? How I am using? How much I am using? One has to take care of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. Also, very important, it is easy to get trapped by sparsha sukham. You know, one has to take care. That is why in India always we do only namaskaram. We never touch other person. Don't get unnecessarily problems into troubles. Do namaskaram. That's why only on the marriage day, auspicious time, the priest chants mantras, all the elders bless. Your hand is taken and you are allowed to touch the boy's hand. The boy's hand and girl's hand are put together. You know why? Everything, this must be proper time, isn't it? Otherwise, let there be distance. No, what I'm saying here is all Damaha means one has to take care of the usage of all one's senses and all one's organs of actions. They're all meant for living this life, enjoying this world, in order to prepare your mind for it. They all are meant for contributing for your mental growth, emotional growth, personality development. Isn't it? They should contribute for your personality development. So involve them only in things which develop your personality, not for things. Therefore, Damaha. And mainly here, they say there's so many things, and this, even the tongue, if we take, it is as an organ of, tongue is golakam for, what now, it's jnana indriyam, organ of taste. And tongue is very much used, what now? Even in speech, tongue is not there. Imagine, how can one speak? No sound will come out. Of course, her throat is very important, but still, without tongue also one cannot speak. The tongue is involved in two functions. Okay, in speaking and also in eating. Therefore, the tongue should be taken care of. Two things. And how one can take care of this? That is why the discipline, tapaha. You know what is tapas austerity for this? To have manage them? Upavasaha for eating tongue. Maunam for talking tongue. Two disciplines. Once in a while, one day, talking, let me not talk at least for few hours. From morning 8 to, not morning 8, okay. Okay. One minute alone at home. In this country, it is easy for people to remain without talking. Physically, they don't talk to, because nobody is at home to talk to. But mentally, we're talking too much. That's why, that is once in a while, even sadhus are supposed to be keep maunam. The maunam is one of the disciplines. People practice maunam also. Maunam means just remaining quiet, not talking anything. Not talking means not even entertaining thoughts. Just having blank thoughts. It's very difficult. That's why you look at do the manas japa and then remain quiet. Don't speak. And once in a while, say no to tongue. Today, no tasty food. Upavasa. Anyway, these are simple things we are learning. But we have to be very careful. Discipline should be taken as a discipline. Discipline is for the end. Discipline itself is not an end. Discipline itself, when people mistake it as an end, then they become Hitlers. Then, Shamaha. Shamaschaswadhyaya pravachanecha.
Shamaschaswadhyaya pravachanecha.
Shamaha. Shamaha is mastery over thoughts. Mental discipline. Mental discipline is shamaha and sensory discipline is damaha. It is very important to pay one's attention to thoughts. We pay attention to so many things, but we always forget to pay attention to thoughts. Because thoughts determine our destiny. How thoughts determine your destiny? Because thought is something which is a manifestation of dormant vasana in your mind, in subconscious. And sometimes thoughts also arise in keeping with your perception of things. Thought alone becomes out as a word. Thought alone comes out as a word. Any word uttered, any sound uttered is expression of thought. That is why I, when you say also is what? Was actually expression of thought. And words become our actions. Thought becomes our words. Words become our actions. Actions constitute our behavior, which becomes our character, habit. And habit becomes our character. And character determines our destiny. This is our Veda says very clearly. Let him go to hell. Word comes. Let him go to hell. We don't mean sometimes afterwards, after saying, you may say, I did not mean it really. That expression of anger. When there is anger, it comes out. Even if you say, I did not mean to say that. When you have said it, you said it means, it is already, a word uttered is already a saturated thought. It is, the Upanishad, the Veda answers very clearly and says, any word you say is already a thought saturated alone, it becomes a word. We maintain our decency. We maintain our dignity. So however angry you are inside, you hate something, you don't let it out. Keep quiet. Really you want, no? That anger is there. You want to slap a person. But you don't do it. Very decent. And you're very angry, you want to shout at the person. You don't do it. Not suppression also, some sort of management. You manage. And you want to scold, using all bad words. Idiot. Bastard. I don't want to say that. I don't want to say those such words. We don't want to. In India we use, no, we use, you will be very unhappy to listen. In India we said donkey and buffalo. These are called peach, no? In Tamil language, it's a kalda. Irma. They use this, I don't know whether in Gujarat they use Tamil, they use all, they call human beings when they're angry, they bite animal names. Korange. The animals, if they come to know, they'll be very often, they'll come and kill them. And these words come out. I want to understand, these words come out. And you call somebody, you know, by bad word, at least kalda is okay, isn't it? Even other English words sound seem to be more, isn't it? For me, more. And then, you also use it. You expressed it. Now to rightly, that didn't mean. When you always, because you want to maintain a dignity and decency, you don't express it. And when you're very angry, it comes out. You know, you may say, without my knowledge, it slipped out of my tongue. You may say that. Anything which slips out of your tongue without knowledge is already saturated thought. Saturated thought alone comes out as a word. Understand? Therefore, if we pay attention to the thoughts, and thoughts can be prevented from getting saturated. Already it is, someone used to say, if you see a white ant, the crayon, little bit outside also, you can understand, what now? It has finished completely, incidence is coming out, showing it out. Therefore, it is very important for one to take care of one's thoughts. That means, because we know, you know, any perception of anybody or anything or any conclusion and coming out, isn't it, giving more attention to things. For a real spiritual aspirant, one has to take care of one's own mind. It's called minding one's own business. It's very important. So here, samaha is having mastery over thoughts. what I am thinking, what thought comes in my mind. See, you cannot avoid the rising of thoughts. You have to understand, mind is a function. So mentation, isn't it? It's a function of minding. Like just as you have no say over your seeing or hearing, you have no say over the function of minding also. If you have no say over, means you cannot stop the thoughts from rising. The thoughts will be coming. Completely have no say. But those thoughts come, what are the thoughts coming in my mind? That needs really effort to pay attention to the thoughts. And if you see the thought, that thought does not become saturated. You don't understand the thought sometimes. So thoughts will come. See, seeing one thing, so many thoughts will come. Aikya. Enough. Whole jagat will come. And who are the people whom you saw also there? What all they bought? And one lady came. And she was pushing one baby in her trolley. And that, the baby looked... I was thinking, my God, the dust comes, the dust should be, the child baby must be inhaling the dust, etc. So many thoughts will come. It's okay. Similarly, and then I really didn't like the lady, the way she dressed. That person happens to be known to me. Unknown person I forget about. Known to me. Immediately, thought comes. When you see other person, I talk about the person. These are very natural things. Natural, nothing is unnatural. That is why we are forgiven. Something called forgiving is there because it is natural. But as a human being, what should we do? Everything is natural, but you pay attention. Why? How can you pay attention? If you know this, there's no space in this mind for such things. This mind has to be protected, preserved. This place is, put the reserved seat, ticket, token there. Okay, reserved. For spiritual jnanam, for antakshuddhi, for entertainment, daivi sampat. Isn't it? No place for things. Therefore, then paying attention to every thought that arises. If you are conscious, if you pay attention, you can see, you become completely... You can see how the slowly mind really becomes calm also. It's called a shamaha. Okay? Therefore, there's a mantra which says beautifully, who is this? No? Whatever man thinks, the thoughts become. No? Manasa chintayati, vacha vadati. Adhikachano, whatever he thinks comes out in the form of words, and words become actions, actions become habit, and habit becomes character, and character becomes destiny. Therefore, what now? Shamaha. It is very important for one to have mastery over the shamaha. Over this shamaha also. And this for which we said also in terms of action, performance of actions comes, where the will involved actions are there. And you can use your will and try to do only the right actions. Avoid the actions which are against the values. This is one of the ways you can manage your thoughts, which is also said to be shamaha. Is it clear now? Shamaha. Shamaha.
Shamascha svadhyaya pravachanecha.
Shamascha svadhyaya pravachanecha.
Agnayascha svadhyaya pravachanecha.
Agnayascha svadhyaya pravachanecha.
See, what all the disciplines are relevant for us, we have to take. Shamaha, Dhamaha, Tapaha, Swadhyayaha, Pravachanam, we can take all these relevant. Now, Agnayaha comes. This is Agnihi, is a singular word. What's the time? Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.